James.
Ain't going to be long tonight. I just wanted to deal with one thing tonight because I just think it's so beautiful that I don't want to deal with no more. And that will start it with the 12th verse. 12th verse. That's it.
Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him.
Oh, let's go back one.
For the sun is no sooner risen with a burning heat, but he withereth the grass, and the flower thereof falleth, and the grace of the fashion of it perisheth. So also shall the rich man fade away in his ways. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him.
The next one on our step of being a mature Christian is when you endure tribulation here and you want to be blessed for your enduring tribulation here, you want to be blessed in glory, not in earth. So when you go through what you go through here, you look to receive the blessings of in heaven, not in earth. This, and the reason why I only want to do this one right here is the biggest struggle that I believe that the church has today. Everybody wants to be paid for their going through on this earthly realm here on earth. And you, that's a babe mentality when you feel that you need to be blessed here on earth for the things you're going through on earth. A lot of us want our riches and treasures on earth. Get to me, and I got a couple of scriptures. I got a few scriptures, but the first one I want to go to is Matthew 6:19. Let's go. We're gonna have fun tonight.
Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doeth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourself treasures in heaven, where there no moth nor rust doeth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also.
That's the problem in church. Right now, we're not at the place of eternity. That a lot of us wants everything here and now. We want our man now. We want our money now. We want the house now. We want the cars now. We want to be able to be fully satisfied in church on this earthly realm. None of us want to go through anymore. None of us want to suffer anymore. And that's why I can really say, and why I want to stick with just this tonight, that's the key signature move of a babe, not a mature Christian. I'm at a place in my life where only thing that I can say to you, and I'm very careful how I put this out because I don't want to disrespect. If I knew my family would be totally taken care of tomorrow and they wouldn't miss me so much, I'd be okay to go to glory. Do y'all understand how much I have endured and how much that I still endure? You know how much I go through. I'm just talking about me. I don't know about you. And I know some of y'all are doing the same. Why do we want to continue to live here on this earthly realm? Why do we want to stockpile our whole future on this earthly realm? Why do we want to put so much into this short lifespan that we have? I got to listening and looking at things the other day, and I'm at 48 years old. I said, wow, my life is halfway over with. I can go back when I was a teenager, which is 30 years ago that I graduated, and remember just like it was yesterday. That's 30 years. Another 30 years, I'll be 78. I doubt I'd be here at that point in time. May, if my body continuing to hold up, but it, for most of us to be here another 30 years, that's kind of like, wow. But then why are we are stockpiling so much trust and so much into us living the next 30 years successfully? There's a moment for you to think. Why do we concern so much about the next 30 years of our life? Why do we bite back and drive and skits and all this to everybody so we can get ahead, so we can be happy for the next 30 years in our life? When we got 30 eternity years waiting ahead of us. Do y'all know what 30 eternity years means? Forever. Your life, the great part about being a Christian at the age that most of us are right now, which is good. Guess what? You done experienced so much that, hey, It is what it is. I'm going to talk to you tonight about you got to get the treasures that you got to get your mindset. Your mindset have to change concerning your treasures that you want God to give you. We're going to deal with night changing your attitude about your life. Well, oh gosh, let's go to him. One thing he said in the scripture that I love that he dealt with, he said that blessed is a man that endured temptation, but when he is what? You don't think you're going to go through something? You don't think you're going to be tried? Oh, I'm going to be celibate for God. Yeah, right. There's time to be tried. Oh, I'm okay with being poor. Yeah, right. Now when you get really poor, what's going to happen? I'm okay with this put-around car. The minute that it breaks down, oh, I'm tired of this car. I'm tired of this car. I need a new car. Oh, I'm okay with the house I have. Soon as the water heater busts, oh, I need a new house. When we become tried, our thinking changes. We become unsatisfied of where we are. When we start looking at everybody else advancing on this earthly realm, we get jealous. And now we try to obtain that which they have. Our thinking changes. He dealt with five things in the scripture that we're going to talk about, or five rewards that he planned on giving us to the people who will not put your treasures up in this earthly realm. And I guarantee that none of y'all can name the five rewards he planned on giving us as individual Christians if we endure this life down here on the earthly realm. That's sad, because that's our reward. That's the treasures that he wants to give us. That's his ultimate prize for us beyond salvation. Are y'all with me? And we can't even name the five that he wants to give us. Y'all ready? First one. Go to 1 Corinthians 9, 24 to 25. And believe me, we're going scripture only tonight. And when I get finished this, we really need to change our thinking inside our lives. 9, 24, and 25.
Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but once receiveth the prize? So run that ye may obtain. And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Know that do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we and incorruptible.
That's it. What we doing now? We running this race on this earthly realm, going through everything and doing everything that we may win down here today. Everything that we doing in life right now, in church, you laying hands, you preaching, you teaching, you witnessing that you may obtain a corruptible crown today. How sad is that? Our thinking is at this level right here where we don't even ask, and we're not even asking God, Lord, don't bless me with this, that, for today. I don't need that. Don't even bless me with a car. Don't even bless me with a home. I really want that. Can you just put that in my savings account in heaven? Our thinking is so sad that we got preachers that comes to churches and they want their money before.
They preach. That's right.
They want their reward, that corruptible reward for ministering before they preach. There's nothing now inside church is about tomorrow. Hallelujah. Then we wonder why church is messed up. He said, but we should have an incorruptible. Go ahead.
Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. I therefore so run, not as uncertainly, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air. But I keep under my body and bring it to subjection, least that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be cast away.
Hallelujah. There's going to be people that's going to be cast away when they preach it to everybody else. They're going to be winning souls under Christ. And because they doing it while need for a corruptible crown, they're going to end up dying. When they get to heaven, they won't even receive any rewards for all that they've done. Oh, my gosh, that's sad. I got to endure all this pain and suffering that I'm enduring. preach to you, and I'm going to receive my rewards on heaven, that when I get there, I receive my reward on earth, that when I get to heaven, I won't have anything. The first reward or the first crown is an incorruptible crown. Will be given to people who run their race. I got to say that just like that. That runs their race is only concerned with making God happy in their life. That stays out of everybody else's business. It ain't busybodies in everybody else's matters. That's not concerned about Marguerite and Pastor, what they doing. It's only concerned with this. Y'all ready? Their only concern is crucifying their own selfish desires. God gave me this. I just rejoiced. Because we will not crucify our own selfish desires, but we'll talk about somebody else's selfish desires. Listen, when God showed me this, I rejoiced. That means all of us got a selfish desire on the inside of us. But who's killing theirs? He's looking for somebody that's going to beat and whip and slap and judge themselves. Yeah. I ain't got no business up in Donald and Mika's business. If I seen Donald acting foolish, I ain't got no business talking about him. That's his responsibility to take care of what's going on in his body. We had pulled scriptures out to make us feel like we are in control. We are a bunch of judges. And doing underneath the umbrella of, am I my brother's keeper? Did your brother ask you to keep him? Well, the blood ain't going to be on my hand. It was never on your hand to begin with. The blood that's on your hand is the blood that you're not dealing with in your own life. I feel like preaching this thing up in here. If you are so concerned about the kingdom, take care of that raunchiness that's in you. Yes. Leave my raunchiness alone. Yes. That's between me and God. We working on this. And let me explain this to you. Because when I came in the kingdom of God, I heard a message preached by a guy. And this guy preached this message. He said, some things God takes away when you get filled with the Holy Ghost. Some things he leaves in you for you to have control over. That message need to be preached to everybody. Some things will never be removed from you until the rapture. Because he wants you to have dominion over it. Somebody lied to you and told you that you was unsaved. No, that junk is left in you so you can have dominion over it. I seen this vision, and I ain't going to tell too many of y'all about what it was this, but I seen this vision of me that when I first became saved, and I had two things. I had in my bedroom, and two people walked in the bedroom. And when the two people walked in the bedroom, one of them I ignored. The other one caught my eye. And it was incredible because the personality of the people was the spirit that God said that one of them was done. The other one I got to keep in you. Y'all missed that. It's there to entice you, to pick with you, to mess with you, to cause you to get angry. I need you to gain dominion over it. If I'm working on gaining dominion over that which was left on the inside of me, I ain't got time to deal with you.
That's right.
Really? If any of y'all have took a hard test, do you have time to help somebody else pass a test?
No.
Are you really concerned with whether they pass or not?
Nope.
Can I get funky for a few moments with y'all? Can Pastor be like he is? I got to be concerned about me and mine. Because I know that if I don't take care in here, just as well as spiritual blessings flows through these lawns, spiritual curses, demonic people, generational curses flows through these lawns. And if I don't kill them, they got to deal with them too. Y'all catch on. The first one is a incorruptible crown that he wants to give to people who crucifies every selfish desires, and they turn the corruptible things in them to incorruptible. Hallelujah. In other words, it doesn't move. It just transforms. Then I can understand. I beseech you, brother, by the mercy of God, that you present your body a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Be ye
by the renewing of your mind.
All right, then. Yeah, since I said that, although I don't even know we're going to get into more. Okay, I hear you. Let's just do what we got to do and go home. Turn to me, the 2 Corinthians, the 10th chapter. In other words, you look at the person next to you. Look at them, right in the eyes. Grab somebody, right look in the eyes. Just keep one, just one, just one. Say, you're not my problem. And I really don't care what you do tomorrow. I really don't care. Seriously, I really don't care. Because sooner or later, you got to take care of your own. Us staying up late at night praying for folks that don't want us to be praying for them is a waste of our time. And then we die because we tired of fighting demons for somebody else that don't want us to fight demons for them. And the demons coming in our back door and destroying us. I need to take care of myself. I got desires. I got wants. I got yearnings on the inside of me. And if I don't keep them beat down, he grows. He magnifies. I got a war brewing in my flesh.
Amen.
And I'm losing it because I'm too concerned about you.
2 Corinthians 10,
chapter 3.
For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imagination.
Slow down now. The war is in your mind.
That's right.
Try to change it from corruptible to incorruptible. You got to change it in your mind.
Yep.
By the renewing of your mind. You got to change how you think. Anybody mind ever play tricked on them? You really thought you seen something? And you really thought about it years after and say, you know, it was nothing like I thought. Thought somebody said something about you and they weren't even laughing about you. They were laughing because they said a joke, but you thought sure they were laughing at you. Oh, my gosh, I done seen so much of that. It's a misunderstanding. Oops, it was a misunderstanding. No, it was your mind. Because you're too busy up in everybody else's business. The one thing that should have been a scripture that never has been a scripture, but I clearly heard it in church more than any scripture. An idle mind is a devil worship. So he told you got to cast down the imagination. Go ahead.
And every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God.
And everything that's inside you that is a puffing himself up against God. Think about that.
Yeah.
Think about that. About what God has told you, they always talk. And it tickled me because I'd be at altar call, and some of y'all, it'd be really nice if God will openly reveal the words that he speaks to me or the Spirit speaks to me at altar call. I'll tell people something, and some folks be sitting there hollering about, he ain't talking about me. Who he talking about? And it amazes me because I know this because I feel it. Huh, don't be lucky. Look, he going to be looking over here. He might not be looking over here. I'd be like, oh, my God. I'm just saying what God said. But then you getting all puffed up against what God says. Then you really need to realize that you got a problem going on in here. Any of y'all ever got like that? I'll be the first one. Y'all may not. I don't care. When I'm coming to the ranks. I come back here. He better not look back here. He call me up here. I don't want to call me. Look, he ain't of God. God don't make you feel like this. Y'all don't have to get real. I don't care. Because I do self-examinations all the time. What do you look at? He got to talk to me. He need to look at his own life. He got this going on. He come up and down my step. Up in my house. He been stamping up my. And then somebody done snitched on him. All they doing is gossiping on the phone. Somebody told him this. Somebody told him that. Ain't nobody Lady Marguerite. She done ran around running her mouth. I ain't even gonna tell you anything to her no more. That's a little hussy. Come on, raise your hand. No! Y'all may think I'm joking, but the devil will start working with you and stuff like that. And that which is there to help you, you start hating them. I got to get real with y'all so y'all can understand. It is all occurring in one spot. It is destroying the church. He said, but if you bring yourself to self-examination and realize that you got desires and wants, you got hidden agendas and hidden motives. And if you realize all of these things, and I love G.I. Joe, say knowing is half the battle. When you know, you already won.
And bringing into captivity.
As there goes.
Every thought.
You're the one that have to bring it in captivity. You're the one that's got to reel it in. So when they start talking, you got to say, no, that ain't right. No, he didn't. No. If you don't do it, nobody can do it for you. That's why we lose it. You waiting for somebody else to come tell you. We can't bring your thoughts into captivity.
That's right.
Contrary to what some of us holier than thou pastors may think, we can't force you to do something that you don't want to do. Contrary to how some of us are manipulating you, anybody outside of your being can't make you do it. They can't even persuade you to do it. You're just going to agree to get them off your back. But that heart desire and that lust for doing it is still there until you battle with it, fight with it, to change your selfless desires over to an incorruptible spirit. Hallelujah. Read on.
Every thought to the obedience of Christ.
This is what I like right here. This is my favorite. Go ahead. Sixth verse.
And having in a readiness to revenge all.
And when you mess up, you convict yourself, you punish yourself, and you control yourself. I messed up. I did wrong. I accept it. I messed up the other day. And I ain't going to tell you how I messed up. I tell you this. I told a fib and realized I told a fib after, and God showed me. I said, you know, Lord, I messed up. Mm-hmm. I shouldn't have said that like that. Mm-hmm. And the reason why I said that, because I wanted to make myself look better than what it should have been. It was okay to say it the regular way. Mm-hmm. It wasn't that it was in some of our minds a lie. It's just that I redirected it. I redirected it to make me look good in the process of the statement. Didn't we just talk about that? So, because I did not want to look bad. Y'all ready for this? It was something stupid. Didn't have no need to redirect it. Felt so bad. I said, I accept the consequences for that. Whatever it may be. Because I felt so bad. But he allowed me to see it because we always think it's the big thing. But it's the small things if you can't control. And I just felt so bad for about 2 hours afterwards. Because, not because of that, but because he revealed a weakness in me that I thought I had full dominion over. But that wasn't the redirecting of the truth that was the problem. It was the proudness that I wanted to obtain from the lie to me that was the more of an issue for somebody that needs to be humble. We lying to ourselves so many times that God is really dealing with me with doing self-examination. It's okay to be a mess. It's okay if you didn't do it. It's okay. It's okay, y'all. So what we need to start doing is we need to stop looking at everybody else to co-sign our lives. This is what we're saying. This is what he's saying here. I don't care. So what? This is me. Y'all know how many pastors don't like me because they say that I don't know proper protocol. I had to get out of PCIF because PCIF pastors could not read me. Quote, unquote, we can't read him. We don't know about him. It's not your job. Mind your own business. But they know we got one of the flourishing ministries in there. We actually had the second largest. And what we doing here, they like it, but they don't know about me. Because I don't don't sit there and play y'all games. My whole thing is we need to stop playing game with folks. Really, be honest with you, Nat, you shouldn't even never worry about getting all up inside Dora's face, Muffin face, V's face, and being their friend. Yeah, that's right. It's really not even important.
Yeah, it's insignificant.
Because what I'm learning, if I stay right, God gonna bring people around me that's gonna gravitate to me because they see me living holy and
righteous. That's right.
And those that he don't gravitate to me, they don't like me because they not living. So it's okay. Because I'm learning that God got this filtration system already set up in our lives that we destroy all the time because we want to be buddy, buddy, friend, friend with everybody in church. Really, the scripture never told us that we had to be friends. He said we was brothers and sisters.
Yep.
I'm not friends with all of my brothers and sisters, but they my brothers and sisters. You ain't gonna put no hands on. You gonna do no harm to them.
That's right.
But I really don't want to sit at some of them table.
That's right.
I love them. Love Dove and Joe's probably my closest, but I just don't. I see them, I greet them, I love them. Don't get me wrong, I love them. And will fight for every last one of them. But they don't need to be booty, booty, buzzy, buzzy all up in my face 24/7 because they'll tell you, if they come over to the house and I get tired of you, I don't kick you out.
He just go to sleep.
I just go to sleep upstairs. Wake up next morning, you're still there, okay. You get the hint sooner or later. I mean, that's where I feel. I mean, 11 o'clock and you ain't seen me and I've been in bed for 2 hours.
Oh, no.
You gonna realize I ain't coming back. So who I am. But our problem is we want everybody to like us.
That's right.
Why? Why do you want everybody like you ready? Because you putting all your treasures on this earthly realm. Your status, you want to be highly exalted on this earthly realm. Everything you're doing is so you can be somebody here on this earthly realm. Only reason why you preaching because you want to make a name for yourself here on this earthly realm. Because the key to having an incorruptible crown is that you deal with your own selfish desires. I'm hollering about preaching and you, because I'm going to get you y'all about the preacher part. Because some of y'all ain't going to want to preach because you ain't going to get a reward for preaching. Hallelujah.
That's right.
I'm telling you. There's only one reward for those that preaches. We're going to get to that. That's my fifth crown. Second one. You ready?
Mm-hmm.
Go to 1 Thessalonians 2:19. Some of y'all, what y'all think you're going to get rewarded for, you, it ain't even in the scripture. Yeah, you're going to rethink some things.
Ready? For what is our hope or joy?
Hold on. Yeah. Go ahead.
1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 19. For what is our hope or joy or crown of rejoicing?
Let's go back. That's why. Go back to 17.
But we, brethren, being taken from you for a short time in presence,
hallelujah,
not in heart, endeavor the more abundantly to see your face with great desire.
Hallelujah.
Wherefore we would have come unto you, even I, Paul, once again, but Satan hindered us. For what is our hope or joy or crown of rejoicing? Are not even ye in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at his coming? For ye are our glory and joy.
Crown of rejoicing is the second reward that people get. This crown is given to them who boast in the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
Hallelujah. That rejoice always. Hallelujah. Who let their lives be a living epistle read by man. Hallelujah. These are the people that rejoice off of every single thing. You never see them upset about anything. Ooh, the car broke down. Aunt Gladys. You wonder where she get it from. never complain. And every other word, my mama had this one, was to God be the glory. I'm nothing without him. If God's not in my life, these are a lot of the old patriarchs. Oh my gosh, he's a good God. They start speaking things out of their spirit into situations before you even see it. Not saying that they don't have bad days.
That's right.
But you don't see their bad days like you see everybody else's. You know what I'm talking about? These are ones that you just gleam off to their field because they seem like they got more than enough, but they really don't. But they'll never let you see that they don't. They believe that God can do anything but fail. They are walking praise and worship service. They sing all the time to themselves with nothing going on. This is my mama. You go in my mama's kitchen, boy, she would sing a song, couldn't sing worth a lick, but she is singing, make you want to sing. I'm not joking. Always humming and singing something. She's seen the good in everything. You be coming in there, be funky, cursing, acting foolish, and she can say three words to you, make your whole demeanor change. The sad part about it, we think that it's a gift. It's not a gift. It's a personality change from individuals that used to or been through so much because they say, I thought I got my violent streak from my daddy. They say I got it from my mama. Say the mama walked up in a club one time, and this girl was dancing with daddy. She two-pieced the girl, and she slid underneath the jukebox and wouldn't come back out. How do you get underneath a jukebox? I don't know. But they say she was scared. Hey, my mama was a rambler, and they said that. Now, Auntie didn't always had a good all her life, did she, little George? But you would never know. These are the people that have that came through and realized being a servant for God is more important than their own selfish desires. They are successfully living a holy realm life on earth. Hallelujah.
Thank you, God.
They ain't struggling with righteousness. They ain't struggling with this. They ain't struggling. And the incredible part about it, you very seldom see these people get up and praise and worship service and act like a fool.
That's right.
Because they're always on that high.
Yeah.
That they sit back and relax and like, okay. Well, I praise God 12 times before I got here. So y'all need to do it. Go ahead. I'm cool. They just got this level praise about them. They not here one day and they're the next. They're always constant, life-changing people.
Yes.
We missing these folks in this ministry.
Yes, yes.
I tell you who's another one that's like this. Janie, Mama Janie. Mama Audra has this spirit.
Mm-hmm.
They perfecting it.
Yeah.
5 years from now, usually these are the mothers in the church. You got to have a couple of mothers like that. Then you need to have a couple of mothers like Mother Merlin, who's just stern. And I love them type. You know what I'm saying? Because some of us can, you know, we need that extra. Y'all got me. These are ones you want to lay up on their bosoms and just cry. Just let them hug you and you find after. I can make it tomorrow. They receive a crown of rejoicing because they rejoice in where? Here. Look at the words that they use in this. For what is our hope, joy, and crown of rejoicing? Hope, joy, and crown of rejoicing. Are not even ye in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ at his coming? They're asking you a question.
Yeah.
So why y'all going to wait till then? Shouldn't you be like that now because you're in the presence of the Lord? I think we're missing. Have God already started his coming?
Yeah.
Look at yourself. You are. Y'all forget. It's the second coming. The first coming is you. It's the church. We are the coming. For ye are our glory and joy. The church being here. Mama Janie, we have become your glory and your joy, don't you? I have became your. See, thank you. See, I couldn't say that to Terrence because I may have to fight him afterwards. So, but what I mean is they get more satisfaction out seeing us succeed. They want so much for us that their joy and their glory when we do better. When you got people who always wants the best for you more than themselves, they're going to receive this crown of rejoice. Mama said something to me. She's always, I'm telling you, I can do wrong in her sight, Mama, Mama Gladys, but she would never let me know that I have done some things to a certain degree wrong. She would defend me even when she know. One day I did this move, and it was snitched out on me, and she defended me, didn't she? And Marguerite said, nah, he did do it. No, maybe he didn't.
Maybe that's not what he did.
Man.
Yeah, he did it.
Maybe no, I'm not my baby. Maybe no. That's not what he meant.
I know that's not what he meant.
These are these people that wisdom sets in, and they love folks so much. Hallelujah. We'll deal with the rest of the three next week. I just felt the need to slow us down and go to them so you can see where you were. These folks, they're no concern about their status anymore. They want to where? In glory. Let me express something to everyone in here. This ministry is in a transformation stage. And if you're a part of this ministry right now while we're in this building, you need to be rejoiced because you are part of the infrastructure of this ministry. God. You are leaders where we're going in the next ministry. And that's one of the reasons why you're going through so much. Some of y'all, you're going through has been expedited. And you're getting double. And you need not to get upset or back off of the double. It's just that he got to speed up your growth. And you don't comprehend that right now. So you're beginning to get frustrated when you need to start saying, it's okay. You know what? It's fine. Listen, I seen something last week, and I want to share with everybody in here. Time is our best friend. Slow down. Don't worry about it. If you don't know, don't get anxious for anything. And just relax. Take a couple of deep breaths and say this, it's going to work itself out. In my case, I ain't always walked upright, and he still blessed me.
He still worked it out. Hallelujah. Favor.
Y'all understand what I'm saying with that? That was for somebody in here.
Amen.
Do not rush it. Don't rush it. And if you got somebody rushing it on the backside of you, tell them to ease up. Mm-hmm. It's okay right now. We'll know sooner or later. And watch people who try to persuade and just back it off, back it down, it'll be okay. We're not quite there, and you're not quite there. We're in the process of some great things in this ministry. Some of us going to have to, and I'm speaking prophetically to you right now because God's telling me to. Some of us got to go back and take care of some unfinished and unresolved issues that's keeping you up at night because you know you did not do it or handle it correctly. I'm not going to tell you how to do that. That's not my place. Some of us going to have to, who hate confrontations, going to have to stand up and deal with things because it's not going to be as bad as you think it is. Got to stop avoiding some issues that we've been avoiding. I just see some greatness about ready to curve with some of y'all in here. And on Sunday, I couldn't even explain to anybody that, and I kept calling offering altar call when I kept talking about it. I ain't never had altar call like that. And I was kept talking about offering, that the Spirit was so high offering like that. And what God's keep telling me is, I'm bringing y'all to greatness. But some of y'all are not going to make it because you're moving too quickly or you haven't shored up empty holes. Resolve them two issues so you can go on with greatness. There's some hurt, there's some pain, there's some unresolved issues. Deal with them. It's not always going to individuals. It's dealing with it internally with some people. And some of y'all may have to go to individual. I'm not telling you. That's between you and God. Amen? Did that help anybody? Consider yourself dismissed by saying amen.